We live in a world that has confusion, a world that has hurt that is real and deep, a world that has disappointments. We live in a world where failure and regret and discouragement are real things that are faced on a regular basis. We live in a world where temptation and conflicts and uncertainty are the regular fare for people to face. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about the young people going off to elementary school, whether you're talking about the young people who are in high school or college. It doesn't matter whether you talk about those who have just newly married or waiting on children, or whether you talk about those of us who are in the upper ages of our lives and we've let our children out of the house. All of these things are still a part of what life any person faces. How many young people do you think today in the world that we live in would want to have and get off the bus and find a peaceful, happy, encouraging home? A place that they could go to after going to school and people laugh at them because their grades aren't quite right. People pick at them because their clothes aren't quite right. People who they thought were their friends fail them. And when they go home, would just like to shut all that out for just a little while and find a home that was peaceful. How many ladies do you think in our world today were being mistreated by someone either called a husband, or someone living in the home with them would like to find a place that they could go to, that they could escape, where someone actually cared about them and about their hurts and their needs? How many people go to work every day and face a boss who is pressuring and rough and rude and would like to, when they close their locker at work, when they punch out at the time clock, when they leave, to think, I'm going home to some place where I'm going to be loved, where someone's going to listen to my need and they're going to care? Do you think anybody in our world wants such a place? It's true, though, that not everybody has this available to them, do they? More and more, this is an oddity and not a regular case. It's true that many homes have already been damaged by sin. And sin simply tears away at peace and safety and encouragement and all those things. The stability that ought to be there, the wisdom that parents could provide, but sin has torn that away. You think, Peter, are you trying to encourage us or discourage us? Great, you told us that there's something we might desire, people might desire, but not everybody can have it, so what do we do now? Psalm 71, 1 through 3 says this, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation." That word habitation is the word dwelling place or home. "Be thou my strong home, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." God here is called a home, a safe place, a dwelling place, a habitation. He's not just called a home, a dwelling, a habitation, but the psalmist writes and says, "Be thou my strong habitation." That is a protective refuge. The word strong there has the concept with it of a cliff or a tower that's lifted up above the trouble and the hurt that people face. The psalmist, when he wrote, said, "Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort." I thought about this as I was studying, and I thought about it from the perspective that I might have had as a child. That sounds a bit abstract. God, be my house that I can continually go into. Do you think as a 5-year-old boy that would make a whole lot of sense to me? How do you go into some house you can't see? God is invisible. Does that make any sense? Someone said, "Let you, God, be my habitation. You be my house. You be my dwelling place that I'm going to continually go into, but you can't see God." it's easy to go to my house. You just go down the street a little ways. You turn at the third road, take a left, you go to three trailers, and then you knock at the door, and somebody opens it. There's a real door. They actually open it. You can come inside. It's nice and cool in there. If you sit down at the table, somebody can put real food in front of you. If you have a need, there's somebody there who can actually sit there and listen to you. How can God be a house? Does that make sense, Hannah? God's a house? No. Now, my home is a place where I eat. It's a place where I sleep. As a child, this made sense to me. If I sleep in the yard, it's dark and I can be gotten by anything. If I sleep in my house, my parents are there and it's safe. I understood that if I went from being outside in the dark with all the trees around, the moon shining, and animals making their noises, and I went from there into the house, into my bedroom, not far from my parents, that there I could feel safe. My home is the place where I go when I've been beaten to find somebody to comfort the wound. You ever get beat up with the world around you? Bob said, 3 days, then 2 days, and 3 days, and 2 days. You get beat up. Oh, not necessarily anybody punching you, but sometimes maybe so. But sometimes you feel beat up by the criticism you receive from people. By a world that does not seem to understand and slams the door in your face when you want to encourage them about who Christ is. And you go home, and that's a place where somebody just sits down and listens to you. And then they tell you the truth. They help point you in the right direction. It's the place, as I was growing up, where I was trained to know right, trained to do right, and encouraged along the path to stay right. That's what my home was. The psalmist said, Lord, you be for me that place that I go when I'm afraid. God, you be the place I go when I need some instruction. God, you be the place I go when I'm confused. God, you be the one I go to when I'm alone. You be the one I go to when I feel like grieving. Psalmist says, let me come to you, God, with all my needs, and you be the place where all of them can be answered. He says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. What does that mean? Lord, I'm trusting you. Don't ever let me be disappointed. When I put my trust in you and in what your word says, don't ever let me come to the place where what I'm trusting you for doesn't happen. God, you said in your word that you're the God of all comfort. Never let me come to you trusting that you'll comfort me, and don't ever let me go away with hurt in my heart that isn't comforted by you. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me. Why? Because when I'm in trouble, when I have need, when I have hurt, when I have confusion in my life because I don't understand what's going on around me, God, listen and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. God, I need a place where I can go when everything is in turmoil around me. And when I get there, God, that I can be fed from your hand. That I can be protected by your hand. That I can be comforted with your arms. That I can be healed when I am in distress of heart. We can go to God like we might have gone at one time to our parents. I remember skinning my knee and elbows and other things, as you probably did. And sometimes those things, you would take them to somebody, and a mother would clean it, and she would dress it. She would tell you what to do until it was ready to be used again. Your elbow may need to stay here, you may need to put some ice on it, but a mother would care for it. I remember times that my heart was broken because I set my affection somewhere it shouldn't have been. And what I set it on was taken away. There was someone to sit and talk with me. Someone to pray with me. The psalmist says, God, let me find in you all that I need such that I could call it a strong habitation. Would you turn ahead to Psalm chapter 90? Psalm 90. Here we have listed here a prayer of Moses. Moses starts here in Psalm 90, verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Our home, our asylum, our place that is free from all the things that are outside. And it says in all generations. We've sung a few times here in the last couple of months. The eternal God is thy refuge. Taken out of Deuteronomy chapter 32. But the Bible goes on as Moses says this, and he says, you've been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You are a place. My homes aren't all there. If a storm comes through. You know, I can leave my home tonight, and it seems like a pretty safe place. I mean, it's just a few boards and some tin. I mean, it's not really. Probably the wolf could come and huff and puff and blow mine down. But it seems pretty good. I mean, we've been through I don't know how many storms and winds, and it shakes a little, but we've never blown off because God is everlasting. And when He chooses to make it blow, that's fine. It'll go. But you know, if my home blows over and the church is not down, God is still there. A child who has no parent that cares still has God. It is nice. I have worked in an environment where I had a boss who cared about me. That is a nice thing to have. But it doesn't always happen. But God is still there. The psalmist said, it's not always going to be the way I want it to be. It's not always going to be that the things around me provide the security. The things around me don't always provide the hope. The things around me don't always give me the peace. But God, you have always been the place where your people go, where your people rest, where your people trust. Would you look just to the next chapter or the next psalm, Psalm 91. Verse number 1, the Bible says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow, shade, defense. When we had in England and in Europe, the more like the feudal systems where there was a lord who had a castle and who had land and walls around it. There were those called serfs or servants who would work the land, and the lord for them, in exchange for being able to, for their services, would provide land for them. And if an enemy ever came, they were welcome to come within the walls of that castle or fortress in order to find safety. If there was no problem or struggle, many of them would live outside. They would farm the community around. They would come into the castle to do the work. But there was a promise to them of land and protection if they dwelled within the shadow, within the defense ranges of that castle. Here we are told, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty, of the Most High, If we would dwell in that place, we would be able to abide or stay or live or dwell under His shadow or defense. To live in that defense, we must first live in that shadow. We must live in that secret place. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Very simply, to dwell in that secret place requires that we would have a trust in the Lord. The psalmist says if you would dwell in that secret place, you would be in the shadow of His protection or the protection of the Almighty. And he says, I'm just going to say, God is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We make God our habitation when we simply trust that He cares for us. We simply trust that He has our best in mind. We simply trust what He said will work for our lives. You know, it's very easy in the day that we live in. There are voices calling out to us from all sides. And very few of those agree with what God says, and it makes people to doubt, does God really have my best in mind? You know, with all these other options, with all these other things that could be out there, does God really have my best in mind? If we're going to have His protection, the psalmist says, then we have to trust in Him. My God, in Him I will trust. Psalm 119, 114 says the same thing. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word. Hope is to wait, to be patient, to trust. God, it doesn't look like it's all working out right now. But I know You will make it right. When we make God our confidence, listen to what happens. We're going to read from verse 3 down to verse 16. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Why won't any of these things be a fear to us? Because we are trusting in the Lord. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now some people argue that verse. They say, wait a minute, no evil. But if you remember the verse Eddie quoted just a few minutes ago, all things work together for good. So when hurt comes, it feels like this is evil. But not for them who love God, those who are trusting Him. That evil is part of the good that God has for us. It works together in our lives to produce good. Now, how can that be? Because the good God has is found in the next verse that Eddie did not quote. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What comes after that? God's goal for all the things we think are evil is to make us more like Christ. Oh, it may seem evil because the finances we put somewhere are no longer there and they never come back. Say, how could that ever be good? Because if God takes your trust off of your riches and puts them back on Him, you'll be more like Christ. Everything does not work out for good in the way I expect it. It works out for good to make believers more like Christ. Oh, there'll no evil, he says here, befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Eddie, you asked me, does the Bible speak anywhere of guardian angels? That word, keep, is the word to guard. He says, for He shall give His angels charge over thee. That would be a guard. He will give angels to guard over you. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil used this against our Savior, didn't he? In temptation. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Why? Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, God says. Simply because he loves me. What do you have to do to earn God's protection? You can't earn it. We love him because he first loved us. We're simply trusting, we're simply loving him, and he says, I'm going to do this because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Just because we know his name. Just because he's our Savior, our God. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Why? Because he trusts. That's what he said at the beginning. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In these ways listed here, God extends to us the very protection and help found that we have need of when we hurt, when we grieve, when we're uncertain. Now let me return to where we started. Psalm 71:3, be thou my strong habitation. Be thou my strong habitation. Whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Whereunto I may continually resort. How often can we go to God? As often as we want to. That's convicting, Eddie. Because if I ask the next question, how often do we go? And we could be there anytime we want to. If we're not there, it's because we don't want to be. It says, I may continually resort. I may choose not to stay there. Can't lose my salvation. But if I stop trusting his promises, I'm outside of the umbrella that those promises provide. There are some things that the Bible says, if you will, then I will. So if I don't, what's God going to say? I won't. I don't have to. It's conditional. My salvation, I trust him, it is mine. There are many promises God has given. He says we may continually resort. We can stay within those promises anytime we want, as long as we want. When a sibling is fighting with me and I want to explode, I remember that. You know, you ever have somebody that just knows, it's like they know the buttons and they just press them and then it seems like, you know, you can feel it and they can see it. They know because you are right on the edge. And if they just, one little tap left, over you go. Where do you go? Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. God, if they do that again, my flesh wants to pop. But in you, they can't reach me. If I could wrap myself inside of that strong habitation, if I could step into the Lord, if I could trust him that he would help me, I don't have to explode. And they can poke all they want, but all they're going to get is the door of God's house. Because I've gone inside. When a manager is pressuring, we want to quit. God, can I come in again? It's me. When our heart is worried about another's well-being, God, it's me again. I need to come in. Because the waves are overwhelming. The pain is more than I can bear. The uncertainty is something I cannot deal with. The psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord, lift me up out of this that is too much for me to handle. When our temptations and pressures seem stronger than any of the encouragement to do right. Did that ever happen? Yeah. My children, I try, you know, I'd like to keep them all, you know, just, you know, if I could have these four walls and I could do everything they needed for the rest of their lives in here, I would love to be able to do that kind of a protection to keep them from some of the things that are out there. But I watch, and you watch with your children, you can have almost a perfect environment for them. And sin is still there. Temptation is still real. But when it is, and it pressures us, and it's so heavy, and it feels like, you know what it feels like? It feels like no one else is standing and doing right. What do you do then? Feel like quitting. Sometimes you feel like just giving in. Look, if no one else is going to do right, I might as well give in too. Don't do it. You have a strong habitation you can run inside. And you know what? If you'll get in there, you'll find there's a lot of God's people who are hiding in there. Because we can continually go there. How often are you settled within that strong habitation? If you were to think about your day, how much of your day do you find yourself settled? Right now you all are pretty well settled. I might get you to sleep in a few minutes. Get yourself settled, nice and warm, sitting in a nice comfortable chair. You know, there's not much when we sit together, when we sing together, when we share together. Though there are heartaches we brought with us, we don't generally sit in here troubled because of what's going on around us in here. How much of your day do you find yourself settled in that habitation? When we move, which has not been recently for us, but for a while we were moving rather regularly, my wife found that we lived for quite some time in a rather unsettled state. You'd move and you'd put boxes and say, well, we're not going to be here real long, so we're not even going to bother unpacking these boxes. And then you're there for 6 months and you know, I don't want to open that box, but there's something in there I want to use. And so finally you get it all settled. You know, there's something different about it all being settled and being unsettled. The psalmist said, be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. God, when everything's not right, I'm coming back. How often do we go back? We have a God that is to us what we cannot have around us every day. You cannot have a perfect environment where there is peace and safety always provided by physical means. You can't have an environment around you where everybody always speaks loving tones to you. It'd be nice. I know as I listen to my children, we would like everybody to treat us a certain way, wouldn't we? But I know in the reality of life, it's not always going to be that way. When it's not, where do you go? You can't just explode at everybody. You can't just run away from the world and say, well, I'm done with the world. Yet lots of people have done that with God's house. I got hurt there. I'm not going back. If you got hurt there, you should have run into the strong habitation. And then there found strength and help. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 32, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. We like to sing at our house. It's fun. We enjoy the songs, we enjoy the words, the music, all of those things that go together. When we're troubled, God is our hiding place, our strong habitation, our dwelling place, our refuge. He is that. And when we run in there, the psalmist says that he surrounds us with songs of deliverance. That's something. When you walk out of that habitation, you are surrounded with songs of defeat. You know, when people are pressing at you, they're wanting you to fail. You run into that habitation and you get surrounded by the songs of deliverance, the songs of hope, the songs of help. How often do you hear those songs? Songs of victory and safety in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the temptation. Probably for as many years as many of you have known Christ, I would hope that you have some verses that are like your key to unlock the door into that strong habitation. If you don't, let me encourage you to get a few. What do I mean? I mean, when you're struggling with something, we just read Psalm 71:3 a little bit ago. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. That's a key verse. You know, when you get to a door and it's locked, you put a key in, you turn it, and you walk in. That's one of those verses that you say, Lord, I'm coming to trust you, and I'm coming inside. Don't let me get disappointed. I do this when I go home now. I can call out to my parents, I'm home, I'm here. Right? That's what I mean, the verse. It says, God, I'm trusting. God, here's the promise I'm clinging to. Do you have one of those? Do you have several of those? You want to share one of yours tonight before we go? A verse you use to get into that secret place that says, God, here's what I'm clinging to. This is what helps me to walk into that place. Oh, what a key. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Just that simple promise. God, it's too big. But with you, I can do it. I'm trusting. Anybody else? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 91:4. Anybody else? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You just think on that for a minute and say, okay, Lord, I'm following you. I'm trusting that you'll meet my need. Anybody else? A key verse. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As that psalm also starts, I believe, when my father and mother, or in that psalm, when my father and mother, verse 10, forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Wait on the Lord. Anybody else? When we trust, we have this promise, God is good to that soul that trusts, that seeks, that hopes, that waits patiently for Him. You know, in sharing those keys, those little verses that get you into that secret place, that habitation, you are doing what Ephesians tells you to do. You are edifying one another. You are speaking to yourselves, some in psalms. We've quoted a couple psalms to do that. You are doing what you ought to be doing as we share together tonight. It doesn't take much for us just to look at someone and say, you know what, I'm going through trouble. Here's what I'm clinging to right now. And then when they get to trouble, maybe they could use the same key that maybe they hadn't thought of before.